Blog Talk Radio.
The captains and the prodigals, you all are fighting, but yet still you can talk and try to negotiate. Can I say you're a hypocrite? You're a Catholic and we fight the Protestants, and I see you over there doing business with our Protestants. You are a, or whatever this is, whoever's fighting out here. You all do business together. That don't mean you're a hypocrite because you're intelligent, you're doing business. Nixon or somebody, one of them, see, Mao or China, his arch enemy, want to blow up America today, but they still talk and do business and try. Now, I'm a hypocrite because I got a white fella working for me in all white country. I'm a hypocrite because I got white fans.
No, this is silly. So why would you read something like it just to say, ain't you Mississippian? No, I ain't. You're Mississippian. No, I don't. You're Mississippian. You know, I came on you.
You ain't used to no black man, and mainly no boxer, having no sense. I'm not just a boxer. I'm taught by Elijah Muhammad. I can talk all week on millions of subjects, and you do not have enough wisdom to corner me on television. You do not have enough. You are too small mentally to tackle me on nothing that I represent. I'm serious. You and this little TV show is nothing to Muhammad Ali, and you got some more questions than I have, and I bet you I'll eat you up right here on there. There ain't no way you can tackle me. All of you are tricky.
It's the Phantom of the Chakra, Slumdog Opera, Rap Radar 9, right? Okay, play a mashup. I went from nothing to something like the planet Earth. I showed these major labels how to make a man from dirt and breathe in his nostrils. Fill him up with gospel, leave him at the mountaintop, blasting at the Rothschilds. Who that? J-Elect Voodoo Man, from the lost land of Moose, Santa Zulu scan. Just real black history, Robert Leroy Ripley. Believe it or not, I'm gonna spit it till they strip me. Crown me with thorns, march me up the hill, crucifix me and ditch me. The rest is all mystery. I'll be in New Orleans making water out of whiskey, casting judgment on the IRS who audited the gypsies. Tipsy, I got the game tipsy, staggering out the club, dropping coins in the chicken. Papers of nobility.
You get me on your show, and ask me, you ready for me? Bart Choper said, this was a big bomb he's going to drop on me now. Bart Choper says, you got white men working in your camp, and you're teaching the white men the devil. I'm supposed to be trapped now. And look there, how you going to trap me? How you going to get me on a TV and trap me?
You can read this damn book all you want, and mister, and my leader is Elijah Muhammad, who preaches the doom of America,
and the biggest white people in America who are wiser than you here, they don't tackle us. Now, how are you going to get me on a TV show and get something ready for me? You had to have it all planned. I didn't know you had a book waiting for me and going to ask me all this. Behind stage is so nice, and you're so, we have a nice talk, and then you get me on TV. This is a serious thing you got me with. You are contradicting. You're attacking my religion. You're turning white people who are associates. They're like, I'm thinking they're devils, and I'm mad. And you got me on a TV show that's serious, and this is a death question. Suppose I couldn't answer that, you had me cornered.
That's why I said you like it.
Like what? Yeah, you laugh now because I caught you.
Peace. Assalamu alaikum. Black Power, Hotep. Great to be back. You're listening to Dr. Ali Muhammad. And you're also listening to Aboriginal Radio, the global voice for Indigenous peoples. Got an exciting show tonight. And we're going to dig in our subject tonight as we posted it. Is an Aboriginal examination of matriarchy and patriarchy and the anarcho production of devolved races. Tonight, we are scheduled to discuss how the races came about. From wars, ancient wars between the original people. And we're going to discuss the cosmogenic science that we have further developed from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Aboriginal Republic of North America and in ISIS, and more specifically for IAM, which is the International Association of Aboriginal Moors and Muslims. And we're also going to discuss that cosmogenic science as it pertains to one of the most important concepts that we have to deal with is lineage. And I think this will help bring some understanding to why we take the stances that we do towards Pan-Africanism, Christianity, Judaism, the current so-called Orthodox Islam, and all these other things, not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but to examine them to make them more functional for you so that you can see the picture of your heritage in a way that makes it not just history, static history, but makes it something that something you can use. You know, reading books means nothing if you can't use it. So memorizing the Quran or some lessons or the Bible or whatever means nothing until you experience it, and then you become what is the truth, which is you are the real book. But not in a slogan type way where you're just saying it, but you actually experience that, and then we can see what peace actually looks like and be a much more productive and happy people. So we're going to discuss parthenogenesis, gynogenesis, all the other genesises that were discussed in our ancient writings. We're going to discuss the biological aspects of that. We're going to reveal for the first time who is the real bastard. And when we say bastard, we mean a fatherless people. Now, this presentation is not to demean any group of people. So, we are not into that. What we are into is that everybody should have a knowledge of self. That's justice. No one should be walking around not knowing their lineage, and no one should be walking around in utter confusion. They should at least have the basic opportunity to hear something that will allow for them to study and understand better. And where there is understanding, there is room for proper dialogue. And where there is room for proper dialogue, there's a possibility that peace can be established. But, taken from the mouth of our teachers, some people don't want peace. They want war. And they believe that they are able to war with the gods, if you will. And they are not able, in the sense of effectively warring, not even carrying out anything that would put a dent in our history, a real dent. So the next thing I want to say before I take a break and get prepared is that this conversation is not for people who are not interested. The conversation is for people who are willing to participate in dialogues, have an open mind, who want to further their studies, who are interested in the progressive evolution, if you will, of Aboriginal peoples globally, and looking for means, methods, etc., to accentuate that productivity, and then to get some understanding on some things in the present time based on the past so that we can live the future that we want. Take control of our own destiny. So as we go into our discussion, and as things are said that you might not agree with, it's fine for you to disagree. It's fine for you to bring contrary points or different varying points. We welcome those. But don't bring the spirit of overly zealous male chauvinism, in the sense of just a manner of disrespect. You can bring masculine points. And don't bring your old funky feminist concepts in here in the sense of demeaning. Let's have a discussion as adults. This is academic, but at the root is spiritual, because our academics is made to serve our true self. So it's going to be a powerful discussion on the devolved races. A lot of people think race is just a phenomenon that people made up. We have to look at the etymology of the word. We have to look at what we're talking about. and then possibly we can come to some conclusions. I'm already at my conclusions, preliminary conclusions, based on, you know, our agenda. This show is also to further educate the people on our natural law system in the Aboriginal Republic of North America, which operates an indigenous law system for people who have declared their nationality, who are part of our various Aboriginal clans and tribes. And this history and heritage is our heritage and our history globally. More specifically, it is a lineage-based heritage of those who are of Moorish bloodlines. All right? So we have recorded a lot of things because of a lack of understanding language, heritage, history, mathematics, etc. We have lost it, but it's time for us to get it back. And how we get it back is taking our time and discussing these things in the public. We will be in New York tomorrow going into this presentation. And we also have some announcements when we come back. Let's take a quick break so we can get ready, and we'll be right back with you.
I'm
All right. Peace, family. We're back. Oh, I got another song playing. Got another song playing. All right. We're back. We're going to take some announcements real quick before we get started. First announcement is on November 7th of 2010, just a few weeks from now, we'll be doing our first public online live video webcast. We've been doing this for those of you who are law masters or health masters. We've been doing a live video for a while now, years. But we're going to open that up to the public, and our first lecture is entitled The American Origin of Civilization. We did a Blog Talk Radio show presentation on that. In fact, that was our first show, but now we'll be moving towards presenting that information to the public in a slide format, an essay, a paper format, so that we can begin to work towards assisting our brothers and sisters who are interested in that heritage and history. The lecture will go over the fundamental claims that we have made, and that is that we know we are the original people of the entire planet, and that's fine, great. But as we move forward for our own political purposes in the Aboriginal Republic of North America to establish our Aboriginal identity and to link it in with our global heritage, we have to set the record straight on the story, his story, her story, heritage that we have, and let the world know that America, the Americas, North, Central, and South America, have held the most advanced civilizations on this planet, and in fact, we seeded the advanced cultures of the other civilizations that rose up along the Nile, in the Tigris and Euphrates, in Mohenjo-Daro and Harappa area, India, and even further further east into China and Okinawa and Japan, etc. The oldest pyramids are in the Americas. The largest pyramids are in the Americas. In fact, the mathematics for the pyramids in the Americas provided for the design of the pyramids that are in Egypt and other places. The most pyramids are in the Americas. The calendar system for the planet was architected in Central and South America. The oldest calendar on the planet is in America. In fact, the Dogon calendar, which I will be able to prove this with no limit of time, was architected in South America and later exported into West Africa and had its progressions into over into the Nile from the Americas. We've collected all this information. So when you're reading the Pale Fox about the star of the 10th moon and all those other things, those concepts come from the Americas and exceed what was in those other places. Now, the key to all of this is lineage. When people talk about history, they chop people up into pieces. And this is because we follow after the devil. And, truly he is about dividing and conquering, and we're going to prove that scientifically. He is a divider and a conqueror on the cellular level. but we are about unity. So we have to unify the lineage. No people have disappeared off this planet. The same people who were here a million years ago are here today, except for a few exceptions that we're going to talk about tonight. But our point is we have to make this clear because we have to get the brothers and sisters who are grabbing on to various histories to see that it's one stream of Aboriginal history. And once they can see that, they'll see their connection. Again, we always say confused communications breed disunity. So therefore, clear communications will provide unity, and we're going to use academics in the sense of how Aboriginals use it to bring about holism, not just for some, discussions and dissertations, etc. So we're going to talk about that on November 7th from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. You can go to www.aboriginalhistory.com DrAliMuhammad.com. That's DrAliMuhammad.com, and sign up for that lecture. And of course, how you will be able to view it is we'll send you a link. You click on it and you can review it. We're going to give the PowerPoint out that we give in that presentation to the people so they can have it. And once a month, we'll be doing a similar lecture that will be posted to DrAliMuhammad.com, that website, so you can tune in and really increase your study. The stuff that I will be discussing is not being discussed anywhere on the planet in the sense of applying it to you. There are pieces of people who might be talking about different things, like a Karl Monk talking about pyramids, Javier Cabrera talking about some stones, Atlanta Cantrell talking about some civilizations that were lost, etc. But none of these people are applying it to you because they don't know to apply it to you. They don't know who you are. They don't even know who they are. So we have to put the puzzle together, and the reason why we're able to is because of the lineage factor. All right, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad reestablished that lineage factor, and his teacher brought back the connection, our global connection. So we're able to do, you know, like when you were little and you had a puzzle and you had all the pieces. But the thing that helped you was you had an outline. So you knew where to start with the outline to put the puzzle and the pieces back together. If you didn't have that outline, then you wouldn't know how to do it. So Master Farah Muhammad brought back the outline. And he said, all right, black man, black woman, fill it in. It's in you. It's in your genes. Once I give you these triggers, they're going to be turned on, and they have been turned on. So this is why lineage is important, because it reconnected us to our lineage. All right, so that lecture will be there. Tune in. You got it. Also, anyone interested in any aspects of the society, of course, the International Society of Indigenous Sovereigns or the Aboriginal Republic of North America, you can visit us at www.wetheaboriginalpeople.com. And contact us, call us. We have our law masters on our legal service link that are available on call to answer questions or give assistance on anything political that we're doing, whether it be international or domestic. And we have a lot of things that we're doing, but, you know, it's great. So stay tuned. If you are interested in labor and you know, not doing too well right now financially, go to www.aboriginalnetwork.ning.com. Aboriginalnetwork.ning.com. That particular site is a site that you can go on and start networking with brothers and sisters who are in the society, and hopefully become an affiliate member so that you can get access to our financial recovery program, a few levels to it, where we can help you start a business properly. We can help you clean up your own financial portfolio. We can help you get a job, or excuse me, some labor immediately. We know our people need labor. We have created some very creative ways to make labor, and that's available. We also have, for those of you who are nationals or new nationals, of course, our Aboriginal health certifications, where I am the chief advocate of that program, chief implementer of that program as far as certification goes. So you can become certified as an Aboriginal naturopath, and it's a wonderful experience. We've been able to cure almost every disease that you can think of, and we have a holistic program, pretty much initiatory in the sense of the outstanding level of the information that's in the course. Also, the Law Masters is also available. All those are available at www.wetheaboriginalpeople.com. We are redoing the astrology certification, so Brother Ampu should be finished that in a little bit. And we got a number of other things that's going on. But just tune in to any of those, and then you can stay in touch with us. Okay? I think that's it for information. What I want to do now is read off a few books that would be good for you to get for your study on this particular subject. The first one is The Message of the Engraved Stones of Ica. Now, you can't get this one in the United States because of the level of information in it. They actually are not selling this book in the United States of America. But that's okay. They don't want to keep it out. You can write to Javier Cabrera Darquia, and They have a museum in Ica, Peru. All right. See if I got the address. I'll see if I can pull that address up for you so you can write to them. If not, I'll post it on the aboriginalnetwork.ning.com so you can have that and access it. The next material, you can't get this material. This is internal material, but it deals with our ISIS health and cosmologic certification manual. And this manual actually helps begin to break down our natural law system internally. All right. Next book is called The Cult of the Divine Birth in Ancient Greece. This book is by Marguerite Rigoglioso. She has a funny Italian name. Marguerite Rigoglioso. R-I-G-O-G-L-I-O-S-O. The Cult of Divine Birth in Ancient Greece. The reason why I got this book is because there's never been a scholastic presentation on the divine cults of birth that were in Greece ever compiled except for this book that I have. And the reason why this is important is because the Minoans and the Mycenaeans who gave birth to the Greek culture were actually from the areas of Nigeria and Northern Africa and Libya. They took colonies into that part of the area that we know of in Europe as Greece. So that's important for you to have that book on the subject. Next book, another rarity. This was a gift, but you probably be able to find it. It's very expensive. It's called Bible Myths and Their Parallels in Other Religions, printed in 1882, and it was written by T.W. Doane, D-O-A-N-E. The reason why this book is important, because of the cross comparison of Hinduism and Christianity and the whole issue of the parthenogenic birth of saviors is discussed in that material. So it's a good material for you to have. The next material that would be good for you to get is the two books of Diodorus Siculus. All right. And he's discussing in book two, the general history of the Amazons. All right. And the Amazons were groups of women who had all women societies. And Diodorus Siculus, Hesiod, and the other European writers that go back to 800 BC discussed these Amazons because they were part of the heritage and history of earlier writings that were in the Moorish writings that were in Tamaray, Egypt. Okay? The next book that you would want to get your hands on for this discussion are The Queens of Egypt by Janet R. Buttles. All right, this was first published in 1908, The Queens of Egypt. Very good book for this particular discussion, being that we're discussing aspects of the rulership of women in society, etc. Next book, The Beginnings of History by Francois Lenormand. Another excellent book for you to get for your study on this particular subject. So again, I have The Beginnings of History, Francois Lenormand. The books of Diodorus Siculus, specifically Volume 2, where he's discussing the origin of the Amazonian women, Bible Myths and Their Parallels in Other Religions, 1882, by T.W. Doane, and The Cult of Divine Birth in Ancient Greece by Marguerite Rigoglioso, kind of hard to say. The Message of the Engraved Stones of Ica, another excellent book. Another book, The Greatest Story Never Told by Lana Cantrell. It's good on the biological side, studying this material. And the last two books, which are excellent books on this particular subject, are Message to the Black Man and the next book, which is the best book, but we don't know because we can't read it, is the Quran, which when you understand what the Moors did with this text as a culmination of ancient writings, then you'll see as we go through it why it has the importance that it has. Okay, so those are some books that you can read. Now, let's start this conversation off. What are we discussing? We are discussing tonight an Aboriginal examination of matriarchy, patriarchy, and the anarcho production of devolved races, which is a heavy subject to discuss, but we're going to make it very practical because you are in this right now. We have matriarchs and patriarchs, men and women amongst us, and we have anarchy amongst us, and we are producing devolved children. Now, the devolved races, when you look at them, and we're going to describe what we mean by that, you're looking at past, and you're looking at, in some respects, some of you, your own future. So we have to make this very practical because we're very spooky people. Spooky meaning we don't understand cause and effect. And we are making causes and not taking responsibility for the effects of them. So people who behave that way, we call them the 85%. They are people who are easily led in the wrong direction and hard to lead in the right. They don't know who they are. They don't have any identity. So they've been cut off from their lineage. And by being cut off from their lineage, and they have a serious problem. Serious problem is that they are the slaves of some other people, whoever they may be, who wants to enslave them, and therefore they are the tool to create chaos. All right? So tonight's discussion starts out with one word, and the word of tonight is lineage. Lineage is the word tonight. When we say lineage, we are talking about your ancestors. And not only just ancestors, we are talking about a lineage that you can identify a particular educational system, culture, and body of law from that guides your behavior so that you can continue to have a lineage. And it's not cut off. So you can continue to be here. And not only be here, but be here with the purpose and intent of why you brought yourself here as a family of people. When I say brought yourself here, this is why we are discussing the issue of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying that black people are self-created. You are here because you wanted to come here. You created yourself, and by creating yourself, you created all things around you so that you can live in this beautiful place called the universe. And we're going to go into the science of that. That's you. That's why you're here. So your lineage tells you or gives you the perception of the will of your ancestors all the way back to the origin. And the purpose and intent of why you exist. And it gives you the inspiration to continue to create and be at peace in this beautiful heaven that you're in. Now, fast forward to 2010 in the hells of North America. You say, what heaven are you talking about, brother? I'm in hell. I'm broke as hell, I'm hungry as hell, and I'm mad as hell. All right? So I don't know what you're talking about, brother. What heaven are you talking about? Well, that says that instead of being amongst that 5% or whatever percentage you want to call it, that's symbolic, you are in that 85% that cannot change its circumstance. So the suffering and oppression says that you don't have the knowledge to change it. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you need the knowledge to change your circumstances. So you can be the sole controller of your own destiny, interacting with your own family members in order to accomplish that. That's what you're here for. You're here for to live out your purpose. All right? And to execute your will. But if your will is weak, And you have others who are wiser than you, but devilish or satanic, and they implement their will. You just need to know how to position yourself in this time and space that we're in so you can change your own circumstances. You cannot do that without a knowledge of self, and you can't have a knowledge of self until you retie yourself to your lineage. So the word of tonight is lineage. Lineage meaning your ancestors. Now, who are your ancestors? You say Harriet Tubman, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all these other people. Yes, they are your ancestors. But when you dig into the natural law system, you have to go back further so you can get the mathematics of your ancestors. The mathematics of your ancestry. Who is your oldest ancestor? The most ancient line, so you can tie it all the way back. You say God. All right. So in our system, I'm going to come straight from our cosmogenic science. Actually, what I'll do is, I don't have theology of time in here. I left it downstairs. But I'll start from theology of time. In the theology of time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was discussing the cosmogony of the original people. And he basically stated that the original people are self-created. And when asked the question to go into that, he began to discuss it in a way similar to how our ancestors discussed it. And that way or methodology says that our ancestors, in studying who they were and their line, took it upon themselves to study not only the origins, but they took it upon themselves to take the templates of that origin and to correspond it to how they govern themselves. So what do you mean, Brother Ali, correspondence? I mean, if we say we're self-created people, that means that we are constantly people who are creating. You mirror that because you mirror what your mama and your daddy did, especially if they did it good. All right? So as a self-created people, our position was we need to constantly be creating, and we are constantly creating. This is the science of having ideas, which gives us the inspiration to make things, to do big things, to do great things, to be great. All right? And that satisfies your nature when you can do that. When you're not doing that, your nature is not satisfied. And as the grandma used to say, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So some of us have class with the devil every day. All right, so essentially what we're saying is when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was discussing this cosmogenic science and saying that black man was self-created, he discussed it in a way that our ancestors discussed it by saying that our ancestors created themselves. And he used the common terms that we use by saying that Allah created himself from an atom of life. All right? And with him discussing that particular science, he was asked the question, well, where did the atom come from? And he said the atom came from space. This is 1972. Now, today, scientists who are in the modern sense trying to study something and figure out what's going on with cosmology and astronomy know that dark matter, the inert state of the universe, is the origin of all things. What we call it today is spontaneous biogenesis, which is the self-created act of the creator to bring things into existence. Now, let's make it practical on a scientific side and a sidebar. Some people will say, that's impossible. You can't get something from nothing. Well, just in 1914, scientists who study astronomy, et cetera, using their telescopes, they saw in the orbit of Neptune that there was something called a perturbation. A perturbation is when a planet has a usual orbit, and then for some reason it's starting to have an irregular orbit, as if something is tugging on it or causing it to move out of its orbit. And after 16 years of study, they found out what it was. It was a planet called Pluto. But they couldn't see Pluto until around 1930. They could only see the perturbations of its impact on Neptune. Now, of course, they can see Pluto going around, and they've even stated that it's not a planet, regardless of whatever they're saying. But my point is, if Pluto was unseen and there was an ability to see it at that particular time, and there were perturbations on Neptune, where did Pluto come from? It came from the fabric of space, just like all the other planets and everything else in this universe came from, through a science called what we call spontaneous biogenesis, which is self-creation. Now, the planet didn't create itself, all right? But it was created through this act of spontaneous biogenesis. This is something that happens to you in the womb of your mothers, which we're going to get into. All right, so when we're dealing with spontaneous biogenesis, or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying that we are self-created people, it's not foreign to science. It can be examined in current modern science, and it's embedded into our cultural histories. Okay? So when we read of the story of Kepura, all right, in the ancient writings of Tamaré, Kepura was considered a deity who created himself. Kepura, all right, or excuse me, Kepura. Keb meaning one who has power, and Ra representing the circle. Some people say Ra represents the sun, but Ra represents a circle. A circle is a symbol of the movement of consciousness, all right, because consciousness moves in a circle. The life principle is the most important principle to lineage. And in the discussion on Kepura, Kepura created his own body from Nu, or the waters of Nu, that inert dark matter, which is the fuel of what scientists are calling today zero-point energy. All right? So essentially, when we study modern physics and we learn about the electron and the proton and the neutron, we are studying our ancestors. Now you say, well, that sounds kind of crazy. No, it's not crazy. Because when you look at our curriculum for the school that we have, Aboriginal Academy of Universal Science, the curriculum that we have breaks down what we call, the Moors call the Hamiyat Anam. The Hamiyat Anam are the eight powers. And those eight powers are the elements that you find in occult science or astrology, etc. And they are the elements fire, air, earth, and water, hot, cold, wet, and dry. That's a table of elements, a table of transformation. In a modern sense, if we wanted to replace fire, air, water, and earth, or earth and water with the elements, they would be hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, and H2O, which is water. The four elements that make up DNA and all biologic life: hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, and H2O. But Western sciences are so archaic that they look at these particles as just unintelligent globs of things that are in, you know, matter and space or whatever. But yet they are made up of these particles, and they consider themselves to be allegedly living beings. Yet the particles, when they discuss them as just some external thing that's out there. Our ancestors did not discuss culture like that. They discussed culture. The hydrogen ion was personified. So when we talked about that hydrogen ion, that first particle, we call it Pata. We gave it a name and gave it anthropomorphism. We gave it form. We gave it human characteristics because we understood that it is living, because we are made of those things. And these are our ancestors, these elements. All right? So these elements are our ancestors, and our ancestors are alive because we are made up of those organic elements today. We are walking hydrogen, walking oxygen, walking water, walking carbon in an animated form. We are the living personification of these ancestors. Okay? So when you see or hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talking about atoms and creating ourselves up from an atom, this is our lineage. Our lineage goes all the way back to the first Adam. In the first Adam is the first family. In the first Adam is the first man and the first woman, because you have a masculine and a feminine principle there. So if we want to study the cosmogenic science of the universe, learn those natural laws, and then learn to apply them, we can go on the interdimensional space and learn how we are supposed to be living. Okay? Now, it is a known fact in modern physics or science or quantum dynamics that the first particle in space is considered the neutron. The neutron is considered a neutral, inert particle. It is neutral. All right? But the first conscious and animated action for any living thing requires it to move. Motion gives us time. Everything that is organic living is moving. Nothing stays still that is considered living in this universe. So action is important. That's why we have Aries as the first house. Action, movement, Mars. All right, so that's there. So essentially what we're saying is, when we go back to the cosmogenic science and we learn that motion is important, the particle that deals with the first motion is the electron. The electron has what is called a negative spin. It is both a wave and can become a particle. All right? Edward Lee Scotland, I went to his location in Florida, Coral Castle, and this guy was able to float rocks based on his ability to get electrons into limestone, and he floated megaton, 2-ton, 3-ton, 20-ton objects into place to build a castle. Stuff that we were doing 10,000 years ago, he did it down in Florida with the basic science of knowing what he called the part of electricity that is not studied. The part of electricity that is not studied is the primal part, or the negative particle, and how it functions. This is the whole new age, zero point, etc. But it has a principle to it. That principle is the first active principle, extroverted principle, and it represents the electron, it represents Ptah, it represents Kepera, it represents the black man. So the first action in creation from the inner state is the action of man making motion. That is a law of nature. You come from a cosmic, neutral, inert state of dark matter into a motion that spins. Electrons spin, they create like a little whirling tornado. And this is how that neutron soup, or that matter, that inert matter, is moved into what we call existence. Ex meaning out, ist meaning one who is out, one who is expressed. And once it becomes expressed, we call it a proton, because it has a positive spin. So now you have a negative and a positive particle, where you have man and woman. But check this out. In the cosmogenic science of the Moors, in the cosmogenic science of Aboriginal people when they had their right mind, in the cosmogenic science of the origin of the universe, from that unified state of inertness, man created himself and then created woman so that the species could continue to perpetuate. That's reverse according to what we taught in Pan-Africanism and all this other stuff. Not only that, when you corresponded, because this is a lineage science and this is a science of correspondence, and it has an applicable reality to relationships. When you correspond that origin of Ptah or Keperah to creating the feminine principle, what you find out is that that cosmic male principle has an endless source of fuel from that dark matter to convert it into dark energy, which animates itself into all animated matter in the universe. So that's a formula. And when we look at the formula, what we see is when you study the history of men in the general sense, this is why men have predominantly been the guiders of creating things in society as long as you have known man and woman. And it also says there's a chronology there that is based on unity. It's not based on competition, but there's a chronology of order and law there that we call Ma'a. And the word Ma'a amongst the Moors meant law. The law. This is the law, Ma'a. All right? And as we look at these progressions, the reason why we're bringing them up, because we can correspond to things. For instance, that power that you have in your body is called alkalinity. So healthier people have better ideas because that negative spin in the vortex can bring out that creative power, the endless fuel that's there in the universe. You are able to tap into that and convert it into useful energy. The body works the same way by allowing the blood to be converted into useful tissues. All of your tissues are made up of erythrocytes. All right? So when you look at you being formed in the womb of your mother, from the seed of your father, you are looking at natural law. You are looking at the creation of the universe, the creation or the self-creation of the original family or the original man and the original woman that was ensued in the beginning of time, before time, is the same thing that takes place when your father passes that positive, that masculine force that we call so-called sperm to the matrix of the ovum, and that conception of positive and negative forces in the womb of your mother, in that blood, allows for that cell to take those erythrocytes and convert them into a body. Now, Western science teaches us that the cell comes together and then it starts splitting and dividing. That only happens in the devolved races. In the original races that have the high grades of carbon, the natural elements, the melanin, the proper equilibrium of substances, that does not happen. The child is born by that first unit of life converting the environment around it, which is blood, into its own body. So this is why the Dogon compare the waters of space to blood, because they're showing you that correspondence principle there, and they're showing you the natural law so that you won't get confused. Truly, the European deals with divide and conquer, because as we get into this science, you're going to see that. So now let's go start going into some history, because now we have established that lineage is the important aspect of this, and a proper understanding of lineage is also very important. Now, when we mix that formula up and twist it and turn it around, we can create chaos. And this is why we're saying the problems on the planet started between the original man and woman. And when we fix our problems as men and women and understanding that we are one, then we can operate within a system of laws. We've been here trillions of years. We try all kinds of law systems, and we perfected the system of law that we should be governing ourselves on based on a study itself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we are the wisest on this planet because of our experimentation on self. Now, a lot of people wonder, well, why you got to talk about the Elijah Muhammad all the time when you're talking about what you're teaching? Lineage. Again, I ask people all the time, you know, well, what you deal with? Oh, I just deal with spirituality. Okay, well, what's the lineage to that? Where did you learn that from? What teacher handed the lineage down? People who have a broken lineage and get colonized, they don't have no damn spirituality. They got a bunch of phony, erroneous stuff that they don't use, that they talk about. So honesty is important, because I know that I had to admit that I didn't know sugar, honey, iced tea, and I needed someone to teach me about myself. I knew there was a lot about me that I had, but had to be tapped, and it took the right teachings. And in my personal position, there will be no other teaching that elevates us to successfully defeat our natural enemies and the enemies within, except the inception of the teachings that were brought from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that we in ISIS are taking our proper progressions to explain and modify them in a way that is tangible for our people to understand. That's just our position. And of course, the key to all of it is actualizing what you're studying. Experimentation, success, failure, assessment, then re-implementing. See, because you're not going to succeed in life if you don't get on the table and roll the dice. You got to roll the dice, God. You got to roll the dice, Goddess. You're not going to succeed, but you have to have the will to succeed. And the will to succeed comes from your own concept of who you are. And your concept of who you are comes from your lineage. And if it gets broken, somebody got to come and put it back in order. All right? In the proper way. So, what war are we talking about? Now, it's funny, I cannot even engage this conversation without talking about some serious levels of science. And the first science that I want to discuss is a science that's called pole shift. Pole shift is a science that deals with paleomagnetism. It deals with the North and South Pole, and it deals with the destabilization of the poles at various points in history. Now, I had known nothing about this until I read Message to the Black Man, and I saw it there. And then later, as I began to learn other languages and read other texts and more ancient texts, I began to see that it was discussed in all these civilizations. Not only was it discussed, this was an event that was created and caused as almost a safe plug to deal with, if the planet got out of order, how to get rid of people on it who were out of order. Now, that might sound strange to you, but yes, they are highly evolved human beings who are going to make sure that this planet stays in order, and as it gets out of order, they'll get it right back into order. All right? And these not no spooks or no spirits flying around, people. All right? So lineage becomes important when you start studying paleomagnetism. You start finding out there have been subsequent ends to civilization on this planet where things got out of hand. So my question became, wow, if this phenomena has been going on for, in our records, modern records, we can look at it up until at least 120,000 years ago, we can say, damn, if this wasn't some random event, as we know there's no such thing as a random event, what was happening? This means people were fighting. All right? Now, before I lose some people, let me make it more clear to you what I'm talking about. You read about in ancient civilizations, in the Bible, in the Quran, and other ancient texts about cataclysms on this planet. I mean, the movie theaters are filled with this stuff. 2012, this, Deep Impact, that. All of this stuff is going on. All right? So our culture has become infatuated with cataclysmic events. In fact, we're starting to experience those things at a greater capacity. Now, the U.S. Geological Survey has been keeping a record of the loss of the magnetic field of the planet for about the last 130 years. And what they have discovered is, based on the rate of the decay of the magnetic field of the planet, we, in the last 2,500-some-odd years, according to their own estimates, have lost up to 90% of our magnetic field on the Earth. Now, what does the magnetic field do, and what does it have to do with this discussion of matriarchy and patriarchy? Brother Ali, you seem to be going way off. No, I'm not going way off. And here's the problem. We have too many people who teach on subjects who don't know how they're interrelated. So we got to know the interrelatedness. But in respect to this loss of the magnetic field, the U.S. Geological Survey, finding out that we lost 90% of it, they started doing studies on this particular thing. All right? And in their discovery of a science that's called paleomagnetism and hysteresis, which is the loss of the magnetite of the iron atoms in rocks, in lava, et cetera, that they found that we're losing the magnetic field. And what does that mean? Well, the Earth spins. Anything that's in motion creates a field of magnetism. This is why we started talking out about electrons and protons, because your cells have magnetic fields. Your molecules have magnetic fields. Your atoms in your body have magnetic fields. Sometimes you call them auras. The glands have magnetic fields. You call them chakras. Everything has a magnetic field based on its own spin potential, its motion. And its spin potential is based on its harmonic relationship between the masculine and feminine principle of that particular object or organism. So if the Earth is losing its magnetic field, that means the relationship between the masculine and feminine principles, atomic structure of the Earth, is off. Now, this becomes interesting. It becomes interesting because if the Earth is losing its magnetic field, that means it's losing energy. And if it's losing energy, we have to figure out why. How? This is why Dr. Sabi is saying that these plants are hybrids. They're losing their energy fields. Okay? So if the planet is slowing down, that means it's losing its fuel. It's like a car that has no gas. Now, I told you where the fuel for creation for every atom comes from. It comes from that dark, inert, dark matter and the ability of consciousness in the form of what we would call a particle, electrons, whether they be in the Earth or in the body or wherever they are, the ability to spin properly with a specific level of force and draw up that dark matter as fuel to create everything in the universe. So the proton has a spin, the electron has a spin, the atom, if it's spinning properly, can maintain its energy. It's like a top that you spin on the floor, that you spin it, and if you spin it at the right velocity, it just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. All right? So, the Earth is losing its energy. Now, the Earth didn't create herself. Neither did the sun, the moon, or the star. And this is why the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are important, because they link us back to our lineage, and it shows and proves that we are the fuel, power, and source of creation, whether we are living gods or dead gods. If we die, the universe starts dying, because we created it. If we are alive, we wake her back up. That is important, because that puts you on the ability to respond to your ability or be responsible. Now you have to be responsible, not just by saying peace, goddess, or whatever, by feeling good about it. Now, if your ass don't behave properly, you understand that the degradation around you is because we caused it, not only socially, but metaphysically and cosmically. We are the cause of it. So if it's going to get fixed, it's going to get fixed by us doing something. We have to do the right thing and not guess. There's no room for guessing in the fourth quarter. and we are in the fourth quarter. So essentially, by studying the Earth, we see the Earth losing its magnetic field. And when the Earth loses its magnetic field to a certain point, then the poles, the North and South Pole, they roll and they switch. And this causes problems on the Earth. This causes tsunamis. This causes continental drift, the movement of the tectonic plates, earthquakes, cataclysms. All of those things are caused on that Earth. It's just like on a cell. If a cell wall loses its charge, then chaos can go inside of the cell. The mitochondria is bumping up against the ribosomes and all of these other things are going on. The cell is sickling over, sickle cell. So what's happening on the lower planes or the more micro dimensions is happening on the macro dimensions. We have to understand that. And then we will be able to take responsibility because we will know we are at the root of it. Specifically, not everybody is at the root of it, but a particular people who have that lineage that I was discussing. Now, this is why we have to discuss this devolved races, because the races are not responsible for solving the problem because they weren't here to create it. Page 297 of Message to the Black Man. We are the last members of the original black nation and have been found and chosen by Allah to make a great nation. Last members. Why did he say the last members? Because we are the last group of people that hold that genetic link to the most ancient civilizations on this planet and back to the originator of the heavens and the earth. That is your lineage. That is your ancestry. All right? So, was this discussed in ancient history? How do we know that as a fact? All right. What's up with this Yaqub theory? Is it real or is it just a joke? So in order to keep the universe intact, which is our body, our macro intact as well. And all of it is our mind. So we have to keep our mind intact. Some of us are losing our mind. All right. So the question that we want to pose right now, we have established that there is a natural law system. The natural law system is the relationship between the masculine and feminine principle as it relates to the principle of unity, which man and woman come together to express, Allah, the Creator. All right? And when there's a destabilization between that bond, then there's a destabilization in creation. All right. So where did this destabilization come from and how could it come about? It came about because of a disagreement on how to operate the family. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad also taught that dissatisfaction brings about change. So somebody can become dissatisfied with a certain situation, then they can want to change it and live another way. Now, if we were the only ones that were here, then nobody can say that they started this problem, except the original man and the original woman, who started doing unoriginal things. Now, here we are, ourselves in a devolved state, with a little bit left of what we have from our ancestors, trying to get back into our proper position, and we're on the clock. We're on the clock because the cosmic changes are coming. They are here. And they're coming at greater and greater levels. And we have to prepare so we'll know where to be when these things get to the point where they're about to wipe out the people who don't know how to behave. And this is why we deal with every dimension, politics, economics, etc., because we have to get prepared. All right? Prepare for what? Prepare to survive. All right. So where did these destabilizations come from? Check it out. I'm going to read a few things for you to show you where man and woman started fighting each other in ancient history. Now, this is from, again, the first writing I'm going to read is from a writing on the Amazonian women. Who were the Amazonian women? The Amazonian women, according to the heritage and history, were groups of women who became dissatisfied with the operation of the societal structure, and they form all women societies. Now, when the Greek writers were writing about it, they were writing from it based on the libraries that were left in Carthage and the libraries that were left in Tamaré or Egypt. And their discussion on these things gives light to some more ancient history that I'm going to read, but I'm starting from there to show that they bore witness to it. And it gives a picture in our minds so we can start discussing, okay, well, where did white folks actually come from? How did these other races get on the planet? How do you produce a race, and what is a race? All right, let's start there. What is a race? A race here, as we are discussing it, is a biological degeneration from the original nation of people. The Moors call the original nation of people the Akdar. The people who had the Akdar body were the people. Akdar in the Moorish script, or so-called Arabic, means green people. But it doesn't mean green like a green crayon. It means that green, when you say it in the Moorish tongue or the Arabic tongue, means a black with a green tinge to give off a bluish turquoise black color, like the colors that you see of some of our brothers and sisters in the Sudan who have such beautiful black skin to the point that it's illuminated blue-black. That was the Akdar body. That's the body in its perfect genetic biological state, and that particular state allows for that person to have the full potential to be a being of peace. Because the genetics, which are made up of the atomic forces of nature, allow for that being to be close to his lineage, closely connected, directly connected to his lineage, and that lineage of people are people who created themselves to be here as beings of peace. All right? Now, when you have biological degeneration, you have a law system and those particular people moving away from that law system. And moving away from that law system moves you away from the principle of life. For instance, an example would be, we see duality in nature, so man and woman are the dual beings who keep us here as a species. So, nature teaches us that the masculine and feminine principle come together to express the cosmic force of life. So man and woman are made for each other. But let's say you get dissatisfied and you want to change. But you want to change so that you can be man on man and woman on woman. Now, you have the power to make that choice because you are a deity. But the problem is you haven't done your homework to see that that's not the best and most elevated science to live by. And therefore, you have called for your own end because that man and man or woman and woman cannot produce life. And if they do produce anything, it will be chaotic as hell. And this is what we need to understand. So that those natural law principles teach you how we're supposed to behave. So when we start behaving other than self, we know it's because we are doing something against the laws that we set up in this universe that operate the universe, and therefore, correspondingly, we should take from those laws and apply them to our social universe. All right? So any book that you're reading that's teaching you about some kind of divine law is only supposed to teach you about the basic laws of nature. And after living those laws and seeing the success of them, you don't need a book. You become the book. All right. All right. So let's go to what these Greeks begin to talk about and how they talk about their own origin. Now, the Greeks start their discussion off. This is book two, page turning to it properly. Page 53 of Diodorus Siculus. He says, we are told namely that there was once in the western parts of Libya. Now, Libya in this sense is North Africa, the whole coast, right? There was once in the western parts of Libya, on the bounds of the inhabited world, a race which was ruled by women and followed a manner of life unlike that which prevails among us. For it was the custom among them that the women should practice the arts of war and be required to serve in the army for a fixed period, during which time they maintained their virginity. Then, when the years of their service in the field had expired, they went in to the men for the procreation of children, but they kept in their hands the administration of the magistracy and of all the affairs of state. The men, however, like our married women, spent their days about the house, carrying out the orders which were given them by their wives, and they took no part in military campaigns or in office or in the existence of free citizenship in the affairs of the community, by virtue of which they might have become presumptuous and rise up against the women. When their children were born, the babies were turned over to the men, who brought them up on milk of animals now, and such cooked foods as were appropriate to the age of the infants. And if it happened that a girl was born, its breast was cut off, that they might not develop at the time of maturity. For they thought that the breasts, as they stood out from the body, were no small hindrance in warfare. And in fact, it is because they have been deprived of their breasts that they are called by the Greeks Amazons. As mythology relates, their home was an island which, because it was in the west, was called Hespera, and it lay in the marsh of Tritonus. This marsh was near the ocean which surrounds the earth and received its name from a certain river Triton, etc., etc. So it goes on, goes on, it goes on. But what the part that I want to get to is the rule of these women. Now, as the Amazons, they go on to say, relax their watch during the night. Excuse me, I'm skipping a part. Okay. All right, this marsh was near the ocean, which surrounds the earth and received its name from a certain river Triton, which emptied into it. And this marsh was also near Ethiopia, and that mountain by the shore of the ocean, which is the highest of those in the vicinity and impinges upon the ocean and is called by the Greeks Atlas. The island mentioned above was of great size and full of fruit-bearing trees and of every kind from which the natives secured their food. It contained also a multitude of flocks of birds, namely of goats and sheep, from the possessors, etc. The Amazons, then, the account continues, being a race superior in valor and eager for war, first of all subdued all cities on the island except the one called Mene, which was considered to be sacred and was inhabited by the Ethiopians and was called also subject to great eruptions of fire and possessed a multitude of the precious stones which the Greeks call anthrax, sardon, and samargos. And after this, they subdued many of the neighboring Libyan and nomad tribes and founded within the marsh Tritonus a great city, which they named Chironius after his shape. Now, stop. The reason why I'm giving you this history is to show you ancient world geography. This is during the time of Diodorus Siculus. This is the first century BC amongst the Greeks. North Africa was considered Libya, and West Africa was considered Ethiopia. I'm going to say that again. North Africa was considered Libya, and West Africa, where the Atlas Mountains, was considered Ethiopia. That's important for you to understand that the Greeks saw Ethiopia in this sense. They had two aspects of Ethiopia, but the Ethiopia that we see today was not the Ethiopia that they were talking about. Ethiopia was in West Africa. Setting out from the city of Chironus, the account continues, the Amazons embarked upon great ventures. It's also important for you to understand that they, as they moved beyond Ethiopia, they went by the ocean, as the account discussed, and they were in a land that was subject to large amounts of volcanoes. Keep that in mind as we read this next sentence. The first people against whom they advanced, according to the tale, was the Atlanteans, the most civilized men among the inhabitants of these regions, who dwelt in a prosperous country and possessed great cities. It was among them, we are told, that mythology places the birth of the gods. And in the regions which lie along that ocean, in this respect, agreeing with those among the Greeks who relate the legends, and about this we shall speak in detail later. Now, the queen of the Amazons was called what? Morena. Morena is a word being used in Greek. The prefix is more. Ena means woman. A Moorish woman was a queen of the Amazu or Amazon. Morena collected, it said, an army of two sets of 30,000 foot soldiers and 3,000 cavalry, since they favored to an unusual degree the use of cavalry in their wars. For protective devices, they used the skins of large snakes, since Libya contains such animals of incredible size. It's important to understand here that this alleged mythical Moorish woman, who was the leader of the Amazons, had two fleets of people carrying out war, which totaled to 60,000. This is going to go into the history of Anki and Ea to go into the whole Yakubian thing. I'm trying to lay my base properly, though. All right? So let's read on. Upon entering the land of the Atlanteans, they defeated in a pitched battle the inhabitants of the city of Cern. This city, Cern, is called the City of Atlantis. Sidebar, there's a project called CERN in Europe right now, the Center for European Nuclear Research. All right? And the Center for European Nuclear Research is a project of a 17-mile underground tunnel that's made to produce what's called a God particle, using high levels of nuclear physics to do so. They're about to blow some shit up. This won't be the first time. But my point is, they named the project CERN after the city in Atlantis, which was conquered by these Amazonian women. All right, the inhabitants of the city of CERN, as it is called, and making their way inside the walls along with the fleeing enemy, they got the city into their hands. And desiring to strike terror into the neighboring people, they treated the captives savagely. I'm not going to continue to read it, but the Amazons and the Gorgons were groups of women who were in this Ethiopian region, who were going over into the Atlantean region, according to Diodorus Siculus, and attacking the Atlanteans. This is a written text, written as if it's ancient history, written about 2,200 years ago. All right? And to give you an idea about the Gorgons, when you hear names like Medusa, then you are hearing the matriarchal names of queens amongst these all-women societies. Medusa, who is a mythical figure who is alleged to represent a type of astro science, is also considered a historical figure. All right. The book that I'm reading from is book 2 of Diodorus Siculus. All right. On the origin of the Amazons. Diodorus Siculus. All right. So let me keep going. All right. Basically, what it says is that she came and she conquered a part of Atlantis, and then Morena, or this Moorish woman, she later visited Egypt. She struck a treaty, a friendship, with Horus, who was ruling in Egypt at the time. All right, so this is when we read the chronologies of Egypt, and we look at the period of the God Kings, which actually goes back into the age of Leo, pre-6,000 years ago, we're getting history from the Greeks who are translating those ancient books and talking about these particular histories. But here's the part that is important. All right. So she went into Arabia warring, Egypt warring, etc. These Amazons were going over in these various places. All right. She also conquered in war the groups of people in the Taurus region. Now she's going north. Peoples of outstanding courage and descended through Phrygia to the sea. Then she won over the land lying along the coast and fixed the bounds of her campaign at the Caicus River. And selecting in the territory which he had won by armed sites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's going on through all this or whatever. After that, while subduing some of the rest of the islands, she was caught up in a storm. This is important. This mythos part is important. She was caught up in a storm, and after she had offered up prayers for her safety to the Mother of Gods, she was carried to one of the uninhabited islands. This is in the Aegean Sea that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about. She was carried into one of the uninhabited islands, to this island, in obedience to a vision which she beheld in her dreams from this mother goddess. This mother goddess is Artemis, or Inanna. She made sacred to this goddess and set up altars there and offered magnificent sacrifices. She also gave it the name Samothrace, which means, when translated from the Greek, sacred island. Although some historians say that it was formerly called Samos and was then given the name of Samothrace by the Thracians, who at one time dwelt on it. However, after the Amazons had returned to the continent, the myth relates the Mother of Gods, well pleased with the island, settled in it certain other people and also her own sons, who are known by the name Corybantes. Now, here's where it gets interesting, going into the Parthenogenesis history, who their father was is handed down in their rights as a matter not to be divulged. So now we're dealing with Marina, the mother of God, guiding her to an island in some type of vision. And then we're dealing with these children who are called the Corybantes, who have a secret about their father. All right, which is not to be divulged. And she established the mysteries which are now celebrated on the island in the Aegean Sea, Samothrace, and ordained by law that the sacred area should enjoy the right of sanctuary. In these times, they go on to say, they say in different things, etc. But you got the point. Get the book, Diodorus Siculus. The point that we're making is we have a history from Diodorus Siculus, and he's not the only one. We're going to keep climbing back, of some women who were warring on the planet. Now, at this time, during the time of the rule of Horus in Egypt, there was no white people on the planet. When we deal with this history of the Harem Akhet being there, or Nibiru, the statue of Nibiru, Harem Akhet, also known as the Sphinx, we know for a fact that it was built 12,000 years ago in the age of Leo. There weren't any white people on the planet. All right? Important. All right? So, get that part of Diodorus Siculus, and there are other writers, Greek writers. Homer in his Iliad, Herodotus also talks about the Amazons, etc. Now, we know we have the Amazon River in South America. And white people try to say that they named it that based on the fact that they saw women who took on the semblance as men. Now, to back up this history on the Amazons, to not make it non-spooky, I have an article from the New York Times, February 25th, 1997, by John Noble Wilford, that says ancient graves of armed women hint at the reality of the Amazons. He goes on to say the ancient Greeks could certainly tell a good yarn, cultivating a kernel of fact or less, they could bring forth the feast of a story to nourish imagination down through the ages. One such tale was about a society of fierce warrior women, the Amazons. In the account by the historian Herodotus in the 5th century BC, Greek soldiers in the Black Sea region found themselves in combat against an army of women. Although the Greeks won, their foe made a lasting impression. Here were women who did not confine themselves, as the Greek women did, to household things. Now, he goes on to say that they found the actual bodies of these particular women. I'm going to actually publish this article, because I can't read the whole thing for sake of time, to the aboriginalnetwork.ning.com so that you can see that in the Caucasus Mountain regions, they found societies of these particular women. All right? That's very important. Now, why am I reading from the Greek text and the European history? It goes back to this book that I have, The Cult of Divine Birth in Ancient Greece, Margaret Rigoglioso. She discusses this, and I recommend that you get this book on the ancient goddess systems as they were developed. Now, here's the issue. The issue here is that when we look at our women today, brothers, I'm speaking as a man now, and we see what's going on with them. Of course, they're angry because most of the men are cowardly as hell. They're not supporting the sisters properly. But we also need to look at this in another light. All right? And we are dealing with the nature of a man and the nature of a woman. And we're dealing with systems of law which preclude that a law system is necessary in order to protect culture. And if anyone violates that law system, whether it be a man or a woman, it has to be something there to put them in check, because if it's not, it's going to cause a problem. Now, as we progress forward in the discussion on the issue of parthenogenesis, the issue of parthenogenesis was discussed last week as the primary tool by which the devolved races came into existence. And as we enter this discussion on parthenogenesis, we want you to understand it biologically. For those of you who have went to school and studied in the Western medical systems, you're a nurse, you're a doctor or whatever, you're a biologist, you're studying anatomy or whatever, that part of the subject becomes important because it brings our relevance to what we are discussing. And that relevance is it possible for a woman to conceive a child without the agency of a man? Was that discussed in history? How was it discussed? And what is the relevance to this subject? Now, just as the Moors, our ancestors, used the Quran and other books that they wrote during the Renaissance period to compile ancient history into books that were kind of like a summary of heritage and history, so have the Europeans. The Europeans have done the same thing, but they have put it into their fraternal and maternal societies and named them Freemasonry. Freemasonry is a composite of gathering all of the heritage and history of Aboriginal peoples to compile it and learn the science of how to maintain mastery over not only the original people, but the other races that have come as well. This is what white males do with their fraternal societies. I'm saying that to say the key and core subject of their fraternal society is the issue of Hiram and the widow. Now, conventionally, we apply that to ourselves. I'm Hiram, I'm buried in the West, etc. But what we don't know is we have to look at the psychosis of the story and relate it to the origins of the people who we are discussing here, the white race in particular, and the other races as well. We have to relate it because your psychology emanates from your biology, or they correspond to one another. And what I mean by that is, if you are a heterotrophic being, which means you are a being that lacks hue, lacks melanin, and your tissues are heterotrophic, primarily composed of yeast, fungus, etc., that means that you will behave as a yeast, fungus, parasitic behavior will be a norm for you, because that's your frequency of intelligence. All right? So we see that in the white race. They truly are parasites. Now, when you take an examination of yourself, black people or aboriginal people, you say we're all sinners. And our rebuttal to that is your sin is confined to self or confined to your neighborhood or your block or your corner. All right? Their sin is a sin or transgression that spreads because it is parasitic in nature, because it is their nature to be other than peaceful. So we're bringing up this Hiram story to show that it has more application in its psycho-analytical aspects to white folks because, or the races, because they are truly the widow's son, which means they're from a woman who has no husband, or she had a husband and she lost it, and they have no father biologically. When I say they have no father, I'm saying that their lineage is a lineage that lacks the genetic material from the original man. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad called it the brown germ. They lack the original genetic material from the original man, and I can prove it in no limit of time. Currently on the planet, you have what's called the Y allele polymorphism, Y chromosome polymorphism. And what Y allele polymorphism is used for is to determine the race of the male species. For instance, if you are considered an African male, your Y allele will be completely different than a European Y allele. Or if you are a person that has some hue, but your lineage on the patrilineal side comes from a white man, then you will have the same Y chromosome polymorphism as a white European male, like Henry Louis Gates. All right, you want to know why a Negro sell out? Because his lineage. All right, so everybody that looks like us, that has brown skin, is not of our lineage. That's the mistake that we make. And this is why you need to read the book or get the audio cassettes from the Theology of Time, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad explained that just because somebody has brown skin does not mean they're of the same lineage of you as a people. All right, so this is where we get the confusion on. But going further into the Y allele polymorphisms, we have a diverging difference. Now, the mitochondrial DNA of the black woman is in every other group of people. We're going to explain why. But the genetics of the original man, everybody don't got that. Everybody don't got that. So you might have every race on the planet having the genetics of the black woman, but everybody don't have the genetics of the black man because everybody didn't come from him in the sense of the biological production. So now what I'm going to have to do, pull out some of my notes on this parthenogenesis and go through it first through a scientific manner and then relate it to the historical aspects. Now, when we're dealing with parthenogenesis or gynogenesis, parthenogenesis primarily discussed is considered something that's not possible by mammals. But essentially what parthenogenesis is the ability of the female species to produce a child without the agency of a man. Now, some people will say this is impossible, it can't happen. That's not what our ancestors wrote. Our ancestors wrote that it did happen. That's important. Now, when you look at the biological aspects that must be in place in order for this to happen, the first thing that you have to understand is that there is no other being on the earth that can accomplish this particular aspect of science except for the black woman in her original state. No, not even the ancestors of that original woman who would call themselves African Americans can accomplish this. They don't have enough ability in their body to accomplish this today. They have some other things that are going on with them, which we're going to talk about. But parthenogenesis simply is the ability of those women to provide what is considered to be half of their chromosome base, and then the other half of the chromosome base comes from Sporification. Sporification is a process by which you have a yeast or a fungus somewhere in the biology that has the ability to create what's called meiosis and mitotic division of cells. Now, in the woman, this I got to go into some anatomy right now, so give me a moment. In the woman, there is a location of an organ between the ovum and between the fallopian tube. It's called the parovarium. All right, that's parovarium, P-A-R-O-V-A-R-I-U-M. The parovarium is something that scientists have seen develop in women, or is in the woman, that is an organ that has the ability to produce what is considered low-grade sperm. All right? And it's located in an area called the mesosalpinx. The mesosalpinx is between, again, the ovary and the fallopian tube. This organ, called the parovarium, has the ability to produce what is considered low-grade sperm. And there's a discussion on this in a writing called The Virgin Birth, the famous debate between Herbert Shelton and George R. Plimmons. This is where I'm pulling most of the biological information from. All right? So, what we have is, if the ovaries can release enough testosterone, with the primary constituent of that being zinc oxide. Zinc oxide is zinc in its fermented state. All right? How you would get zinc in a fermented state is you would get a plant that was basically made for the male anatomy, and those particular plants that were made for the male anatomy would have to be fermented, and that fermentation would produce the high levels of zinc to create an increase in testosterone, and that increase in testosterone would help develop the parovarium. And the parovarium is an organ, again, that holds the sperm, so now we know that potential is there. But in order for a woman to do this, she has to become, in her mind, so that it can affect her endocrine system, very masculine, to the point of what we would call hermaphroditism. Now, for those who take it in regards to the study of history as some kind of divine thing, no, this is completely chaotic and disorderly for a woman to try to be a man and a man to try to be a woman. And anytime you see it happening in a civilization, it's a sign that that civilization has come to an end. It's not even a civilization, because a civilization means civil, to be lawful. It's just a country or a nation or whatever it is. So we are at our end right now because of the crossing of natures. And whenever you have the crossing of natures, go back to our earlier part of our conversation on the cosmic concept of masculine energy and feminine energy, proton, electron, positive and negative charge, and the chronology of them. When you have those two tornado spins start merging into each other, they dissipate the energy of both, which means they destroy each other. If you were to press a proton to a neutron to the degree that their spins come together, because they are opposing spins, then those spins would cancel out the charges of each other. And that is why polarity was used as a principle to express the life principle of unity, because in creation you need that duality to express unity. But if for some reason our women become dissatisfied because of what's going on amongst the men or what's not going on amongst the men, then you have a situation in ancient history where we talk, well, this issue of parthenogenesis was talked about. But the biological side of it is that the parovarium will produce low-grade sperm, and that low-grade sperm is not high-quality cosmic genetic sperm coming from a man. It is a low-grade sporification of tissues created by a weak endocrine system, and that sporification will create meiosis and mitotic division in the cells. Now, so that I won't lose you, let me go back to the body. The body was made and day to mimic the universe. It was made to operate off natural law. As soon as it begins to violate natural law, you have the opportunity for confusion to come into existence. Mitosis, cellular mitosis, is taught to us as an organic function of human biology. And it is only a function of a devolved being. Cells do not split unless they are in a acidic environment that is chaotic to their own existence, and the splitting only occurs in order for the cell to maintain some level of existence. So if you put a cell in a petri dish, of course it's going to split because cells belong in the body. But if you put a cell in the womb of a woman, properly fertilized through the natural courses of life, that cell is not going to split. It's going to transfer its DNA and RNA to those erythrocytes or red blood cells that is in the matrix of the womb to get those cells to coagulate to build up a body. The reason why that manner is better than mitosis is because mitosis requires the anatomy of that being come into existence to participate in sporification, which is the production of yeast and fungus, which is the production of a weak body, which is a weak mind, which is a devil or a devolved being. All right? So essentially, when we look at the biological aspects of parthenogenesis, we are looking at the ability of a mammal, woman, to produce a child without the agency of the other half of herself, which is a violation of nature, and then with that violation of nature, producing a being that represents a cosmic violation. And this is what we are discussing when we are discussing the bastard race. The bastard races are those who do not have the original genetics of the original family. Okay? So when we're looking at the power variant and studying this stuff on anatomy, it becomes important for us to understand the corresponding relevance of this whole subject to what we are seeing today. We have another phenomenon called gynogenesis. Gynogenesis is the ability of the woman to be, for the menstrual cycle, excuse me, for ovulation to occur based on her being in the presence of the pheromones of a man. Pheromones being the gases that are emitted from the man that her body can pick up on. And those gases are found in the sperm, etc. So she can have sex with a man, and the sperm might not be the thing that actually creates the conception. It is the pheromones that create the ovulation, and then she is fertilizing the egg herself. Now, the constituent characteristics of a child that is born through gynogenesis is that the child will always have the prevailing features of the mother and not the father. All right. When you have proper sperm to ovum connection, because of the power of the chromosomes that are in sperm, the prevalence is that the child will have the predominant features of the father in a natural conception. But with sporification, the cell duplication cycle that is taking place in the body, based on the mitotic division, allows for only the set of chromosomes of the woman and the spores that were produced to give the true template for the building of the body. Therefore, the child will have almost an exact resemblance to the mother. Now, you might say, this sounds crazy, brother. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. No, it's true. And if you study ancient history, we talked about all these things. We only got 3 hours, so we don't got a chance to go into all of it. But I'm just kind of dropping certain things. All right? So another thing that is important for us to understand is that it is the pheromones of a man that causes a woman to ovulate. This is why your menstrual cycle is crazy now, woman, because you live in a society where you don't understand natural law and you amount all kinds of men, all kinds of, you know, during the day, at work, you're going down, you do with this man, you drink coffee with this man, you're around this man, you're laughing with this man, telling jokes with this man. In natural law societies, the women of a society will only be around the men of the family, the direct family, the sons, the husbands, the fathers, the brothers. That's the only men that she would be around who had her same genetics. And therefore, she wouldn't be hemorrhaging every 30 days or 15 days or whatever. All right? So, essentially, we have to learn culturally that the destruction and subjugation of the woman is because of a lack of understanding her anatomy, biology, physiology, and cosmology, and the things that protect her and protect us, because we need to understand these sciences. All right? So, I think I'm staying on track as far as my notes. Let's see. Okay, so I think I'm making this clear. What I'm making this clear is divide and conquer is a biological frequency of these races of people. That's what I'm trying to establish. Okay? It is a biological frequency of these races of people. Divide and conquer. That's what heterotrophic organisms do. They divide and conquer. That's what cancer does. It splits mitotic division and does what? Conquers. Mitotic division of cells is created in acidic environments where the pH or the number of hydrogen ions, negative hydrogen ions, is not the same as the positive hydrogen ions. And therefore, you have less man than woman, if you want to put it like that. All right, so essentially, when we go to understanding parthenogenesis, this is why I said last week it is a disease, because nature gives us man and woman. The great power of masculine energy is the power of man, and the great power of feminine energy is the power of the woman. And when they come together, they create family. That is the beauty of creation. But when a woman is trying to be a man and a man is trying to be a woman, you confuse the natural order of the universe. And you have the choice to do that, but you also have the choice to participate in your own self-destruction. And that's what we should be avoiding. Now, when we go to the historical aspects of parthenogenesis, we have to go to, and the production of races, we have to go back to our, to what we were reading earlier on these women that we were discussing from Diodorus Siculus and the actual finds. Now, when we go back further in history, what we're able to see is that from the Supreme Wisdom Lessons, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was given the keys by Master Farah Muhammad of this whole history. When he asked, what is the birth record of others than Islam? For those of you who get your 120 or your Supreme Wisdom or whatever you want to call it, you get the lessons and you are asked that question in the student enrollment, what is the birth record of said others than Islam? And what the question is asking is, what is the birth record of a culture that's foreign to the original people? What is the birth record? And the answer that's given is that Buddhism is 35,000 years old and Christianity is 551 years old. We've already went over why those time periods were given. But Christianity, at the core of Christianity, is this history of parthenogenesis. And at the core of Hinduism or Buddhism is the same parthenogenic history or heritage. In one, you have a man named Jesus or Zeus. In the other one, you have the history of Krishna. All right? Now, the reason why this becomes important is because lineage again becomes a serious issue, because now we have to identify historically who have been the enemies to original people on the planet. And when you go to this little Hindu that's over there in India, not the Dravidian, the Hindu, and you say, well, Hindu is a religion. It's not a race. It's not an ethnicity. Well, here we're using it as ethnicity in the sense of the culture of any people springs from the state of their consciousness, which is the state of their biology. So when the original man and woman are in their original state, they're in a state of peace. They're in a state of ma'at because they have the original genetics, they have the original color, they have the original frequency of intelligence. If something goes other than self and they begin to eat other than self, think other than self consciously, then we have a destabilization where that consciousness can produce a different culture that is not really a culture that's for maintaining peace and the life principle. So at the core of Christianity, the core of Buddhism is the same story of parthenogenesis. The exact same story. Now, the problem is they didn't have their own history, so they had to take our history and convert it into this parthenogenic history. So when you take a psychological evaluation of what they're actually communicating about what is their greatest story that these people have is the birth of a man without the agency of another man, with the agency of a woman and a mystery god. Just take that into your mind for a minute and look at the psychology of it. The greatest stories of Hinduism and Christianity are the birth of a man by the agency of a woman without the agency of a man. That is a violation of divine law. Because what they have said is, fuck natural law, the hell with the need to have the male and female principle of creation to produce life, the hell with that, let's tag on to the female principle as the principle by which we are going to come into existence. Now, this is their heritage and their history masked around them taking our history and putting their, you know, crazy psychology over. This is their birth. This is the birth of the bastard races. And the reason why it's important is because the location in which these things happened was in this area of the planet. All right? In this area in the Far East that progressed to the Nile Valley later. All right? So when we look at the area known as Upper Asia and other things, when we are discussing the history of the Ramayana and Rama as the original man is discussing these groups of people who are called the Vanara, we are looking at these people's history being discussed. All right, so let's look at the history of this particular thing and make sense of it. All right, so Hinduism being 35,000 years old, Buddhism, Christianity being 551 years old. When we look at the story that's written in the Bible and the Quran, here's where we make our mistake. These books have been in the hands of these white masons and these Hindus who call themselves Arabs, and they have placed their identity and psychology on our Moorish heritage. When in fact, when you get to the real history of that particular writing, whether it be the Quran or the Tanakh, it has nothing to do with any parthenogenesis, but they have placed their interpretation of parthenogenesis on that particular thing. All right. Now, as we look at this story, we have to go to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings on the history of Yaqub. Now, the question is asked, was Yaqub a real person? Did he really exist? What we have proof of is that during the 12th, 13th, and 14th dynasties of Tamaré, you had the people in those dynasties giving credence to a deity who was known as Yaqub. All right? Specifically, pull my notes up. When you look at the 14th dynasty, you have a pharaoh who calls himself Yaqub Har. But when you see the name in the Shin disk, the practice of our ancestors was to name themselves at that time names that were from more ancient people. So although this was only 4,000 years ago, Yaqub Har, who was a pharaoh during the 14th dynasty, was naming himself after an older name. All right? And when you look at the word Yaqub in the hieroglyphics, the Y is the same sound as the I-A, Ia, or Ya, Ia or Ya. And Kub, as we look at the origin of this name, to try to figure out, well, where does the word Yaqub comes from? Ia was the name, or Ya was the name for the moon, or the moon goddess. Kub, or Geb, was the name for the earth. So it's showing a group of people who practice a matriarchal culture. Now, matriarchal culture is the worship of the feminine principle. A patriarchal culture is the worship of the masculine principle. And a natural law culture is the proper worship of those two principles as a unified principle. So in truth, we have patriarchs and matriarchs, but they come together to make family. And we should not be overly patriarchal, overly matriarchal in either sense. But Yaqub in the hieroglyphics, and I have the actual steles that it was written in the Shin disk, Ya means moon, and Geb or Keb in the Merunetter meant earth. So this is the deification of the woman taking place amongst the Hyksos. And they got this from Sumer because the name Yaqub comes from Ea. Ea is another name for the Sumerian deity Anki. So Yaqub, which became Yaqub in Greek, or Yaqub, is related directly to Anki, and both of them are related to the feminine principle. Anki means Lord of the Earth. He was the patron god of a place called Eridu, where you get Arid, Arid or Eretz. Eretz in Hebrew, Arid means earth. All right? And as we look at the history of Anki in the mythos, we have a mythological figure, and we have a personage in history. Now, no one understands this. People who study our heritage and our history try to make it look like when they study ancient gods, oh, it's a constellation, it wasn't real history. Somebody had to write it down. So they use names of people because it described real phenomena and real people and real events. So though it has a cosmic connection in the celestial, it also has a terrestrial correspondence. And you can't break those two apart. Okay? So when we look at Yaqub or Yaqub or Anki, we are looking at a masculine deity, God, who perpetuated a matriarchal system. Now, why would Yaqub do that? Now, what I do have, I don't have it tonight, is proof that Anki took what was called the Lulu Amalu and experimented on them in a 600-year process. I have that. I'm able to prove that. And when we look in the ancient Egyptian pantheon and we see Geb as the earth and Ni as the sky, what we are looking at is the reversal of the proper order of the masculine and feminine principle being discussed in our ancient texts. But we, because we don't know what our ancestors are communicating, think that it denotes something that is functional when it's actually pointing out dysfunction. And issue means the man, as you see in that hieroglyphic, Geb is on the bottom, Ishu is in the middle, and Neith is on top as the starry canopy, what you are looking at is Ish. Ish has always been men, like British. Ishu. Ishu means the men or the society or the nation that have that reversal of the natural law principle. All right? So essentially, when we look at Yaqub, we have a historical reality in Anki or Iageb in the Sumerian traditions. Now, the symbol of Anki was the double helix snakes representing DNA, called by the Greeks the rod of Asclepius, which shows that Anki, when you read the in the Sumerian pantheon, is dealing with some experimentation. So when we see Morina and the deification of the goddess on Samothrace and an island, and we see this other mythology on Anki, also being lord of the Absu, which is the oceans, what we are looking at is our ancient ancestors having that heritage, and then by the time we got it in supreme wisdom, we got a summary of those ancient lessons. So when we see the Yaqub, it's not a theory anymore. It's talking about the progressions of how Orishas came into existence. All right? So as we look at this, essentially what we're saying is we have to be able to read into the mythos to see what's going on. And we have to have a knowledge of calendars and science in order to figure out when these things happen. All right? So let's progress a little further. Now, we know Yaqub existed in the sense of the story of the progression of these races. The question is, how do we put this all together? The first groups of parthenogenically created people were the races of the people in northern India who we call today the Hindu races. They were the first races that were born parthenogenically into reality. In the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, which are the texts of the Vedic people, this is discussed in detail. All right? And that detail kind of lays out basically that you had what was considered sunbursts in this parthenogenic operation. And this operation is taking place about 16,000 years ago, the beginnings of this. All right? And it is from these races of people who, when you study these races, the blood types, and as we mentioned, the Y Alu polymorphisms of these other races are similar. So the Hindu or the people from Hindustan and the European have the similar blood types, and they have the similar Y Alu polymorphisms, which shows that the black man is not their daddy. That's my point on this Hiram issue. The issue of a bastard race or someone born of a mother without the agency of a father is dealing with these groups of people. Now, what type of behavior would these people manifest? They will have the behavior of tricks, lies, deception, etc. They won't be an honorable people because it is not embedded into their nature to be beings of peace. Later, these groups of people, because of their behaviors, mentioning the pole shift phenomenon that we did earlier, the pole shift phenomenon is something that was enacted to rid the earth of these particular people. And we got rid of some of them. But we didn't get rid of all of them. And in the process of attempting to do this, the races of people who did not have the technology to know where to be on the planet or how to get off the planet, when the pole shift occurs because of the loss of the magnetic field, we get what's called the further devolution of the races or devolving of the races. All right? And that devolving of the races occurs with what we find as the hominids. Now, I proved this in the American Origin of Civilization in our first radio show by stating that the finds of these hominids, Lucy, other hominids all across the planet that have been finds, Neanderthal, were the result of devolved people. And I proved it by showing that the levels of argon, which is an element found at these sites where these people were at, showed and proved that they were of a lineage of people who experienced severe levels of mutation corresponding with pole shifts. And how I knew that was because potassium, which is the mineral that makes up the blood, the bones, the skin, etc., it is one of the most alkaline minerals on the periodic table. When potassium decays at high rates of speed of beta decay, it decays into argon. So when Louis Leakey and Mary Leakey were testing these hominids that they were finding that they thought were trillions of years old, the reason why the age dates were coming up so far advanced was because of the high levels of quick decay that take place in a pole shift phenomenon. It will make something that is actually young appear dating-wise, because you're dating the minerals, to be old because of the quickness of how the decay takes place. So when we're looking at the hominids, we're looking at two progressions. We're looking at beings born from parthenogenesis and beings who got stuck in the cataclysms. And from those beings, you get the history of Anki or Iyakub or Iyageb, who comes along to participate in experiments to try to bring these groups of people back into their original form. And in attempting to do that, you have the creation of the races, the so-called white race, yellow race, etc. All right? And we have archived depictions of the experiments in Sumer, and we have archived depictions of the separation of these races into various bloodlines in Tamareg. On the tomb of Ramesses III, you have the distinct Tamaran Moorish habit or behavior or projection of Ramesses III and the groups of people who are part of the primal lineage separating themselves from the other three classes of races. You have the master race, who are called Retnaroms, we gods above men, or Reaj. And the Ra represents the consciousness, again, the spiral. And the Zhu represents the Jews, or the Yasha Allah. The Yasha Allah is Israel, or the lineage, that ancient lineage of people, the Moors. So for the so-called Egyptians to separate themselves as far as race from the Ta-Negesu, from the Tamahu, and the other Mongoloid race that's projected on the tomb of Ramesses III shows you that they saw themselves as a different bloodline. And even with the Nagas, or Ta-Negas, even though both of them had a deep hue, they still considered their lineage different. And that is because when you look at the symbol for Nagas, you have the Nun, you have the spiral rope that represents resurrection, and then you have the needle that's in the curve that represents dissection or some type of surgical experimentation. So you're dealing with genetic manipulation to create in the Ta-Seti races their biological evolution back into the natural body. So I know we're covering a lot of stuff. But what I'm saying is this stuff is written down. We don't have to theorize about this race issue. Now the issue becomes, what the hell does it have to do with today? What does all this have to do with today? When we look at religion, it has something to do with religion. Because when the Moors wrote the Quran and they wrote the story of Maryam, They were speaking of Meriam Hatshepsut, also called Nefere. And Meriam Hatshepsut, also called Nefere, the daughter of Hatshepsut, or the Meri, the heir of Hatshepsut, had a son who was one of the most astounding astronomers of the 18th dynasty. His name was Sin-Mut. Sin-Mut means Sin, son, Mut of my mother. Sin-Mut is depicted in these depictions of sitting with his mother. And his lineage is traced to his mother to hide the fact that there was a special process that was done, not some parthenogenic process, but a process where there were advanced races at that time came and miscegenated with what we call the Neb races or the prophetic races that were ruling Tamaray during that time period. And they produced a son called Sin-Mut, and they have the books of the astronomical ceilings that he put up. But more importantly, his real historical name in the Quran is called Isa. Isa ibn Maryam. Isa ibn Maryam Hatshepsut. And the reason why this is important is because the Moors, when they wrote down the lineage factors in the Quran, kept a proper chronology of our heritage and our history all the way back to its origins. So this is why when you read in the 66th surah of the Quran, and it says Mary is the daughter of Amran, Amir was the title of the Jehutmus of the 18th dynasty. And Amran is Thutmose II, or Jehutimus II, the second. Heka is the symbol that's used to show that he was the second Jehutmose. And he was the mother of Meriam Hatshepsut, or Nefere, and he was married to Hatshepsut. He had another wife named Ast, or Aset, who he had a child with, who birthed the greatest general in the history of the world, known as Thutmose III, or Jehutmusa III, also known as Musa or Moses. These were real people in history. This is your lineage. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we are the last members of the original nation. So by the time we get down to the Bible and Quran coming down, we're dealing with the Nibirian bloodlines and them being preserved. And these writings were meant to notify us of who we were in respect to those particular things that are written down. So when we look at these heritage and history that are written in the Quran, this is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Christianity was only 551 years old in 1931, because the Moors knew all this history that I'm talking to you about. They didn't believe in no parthenogenic inception of no child from Mary. They knew that this was a part of the lineage of the 18th dynasty of Tamaray. And this was the group of people that are doing what we are doing now in ISIS. We are taking these cosmologic sciences and these sciences that deal with melanin enhancement and other things and using them in our own certifications to rebuild the bloodlines back up that we have lost, which will rebuild our intelligence, which will put us back into our state of sanity so that we can be a whole people again. How we will become a whole people is when we approach our life holistically based on our lineage, and we have to learn the details in order to do that successfully. We can't be guessing. So when they wrote these sciences in the Quran about Maryam and Isa, they were talking about that particular lineage. Another name for Sin-Mut, Isa, is Akhenaten. So when you saw Akhenaten change his location from the Theban priesthood and set up a new city based on the pre-dynastic grid science or geodetic science, he was saying, I got the knowledge. I got better knowledge than these groups of people who are not a part of these bloodlines. See, all the pharaohs were not a part of the original bloodline. You had many different dynasties. But there was a dynasty that kept the bloodlines intact, remembering that the foundation of the Egyptian civilization from Ethiopia, or Kush, as we have proven tonight, came from the West. This is why I read the Greek writings to show you that they had two levels of Ethiopian geography, and one of it was West Africa. The other, Ethiopia, was the area we know of today as Syria, Lebanon, etc. That was the border of Ethiopia and Arabia. All right. So the progressions of the civilization from the south and the west to merge into the Nile Valley culture shows that we were coming back to that location to reestablish something that had been established there as a global civilization prior to that time period. And this history was preserved in the greatest Moorish dynasty of the 6,000-year epoch in the 18th dynasty, about 3,500 years ago. And it's written about in the Quran. All right, so that is important for us to understand, because when you look in the Bible and you see statements like those who followed Isa, we will make them superior up until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. People who read that think that's dealing with some old false Christianity. No, that's dealing with the Moorish lineage. And this is how you're going to put yourself back into a proper and superior position by accessing the technologies, mental technologies of your ancestors. So you will learn how to deal with commerce, politics, and all these other things based on formulas and not guessing. Now, getting back to the original issue of the issue between man and woman, what we are discussing here is that there's a system of operation that must be put in place in order to help our families come back together in a healthy way. And it's going to start with a law system, because you need law for savages, and we have been turned into savages. Law is needed for savage people to groom them and build them back up into what they already innately have in their nature, which is a love of the law, the natural law, an open and willing and conscious desire to be a right and just people, because they know it preserves their own cosmic body, their own macroscopic universe. When you understand these principles, then you will do right just because it's the right thing to do, and it gives you peace, as opposed to being forced. So our situation has presented us with a devil who gives us all these laws and puts us in all these things because of our ancient violation of natural law that brought all this into existence. But now it's going to be harder to help the sisters, because the sisters don't have it in their nature to recreate the original state for the nation. They have to be inspired. That proton is inspired by that electron to move and to create a material world based on the natural progressions of natural law. So Ptah will inspire Ast. Kepara will inspire Mut. Not the other way around. We got the formula backwards. For the most part, when you look at women, they are not interested in taking the lead, and they should not be interested in taking the lead on the warfare scale. It is not in them. Their nature gives them the ability to be the consoler and the comforter and the provider of nurturing to the children, so the children will learn the peaceful, humane side first, and then learn to protect it. This is what needs to be implemented. How do you implement it? You have to eat right. You have to be good at commerce and economics. You have to understand natural law system. You have to experiment with practicing natural law systems. You have to live communally. You have to work together and become resourceful, which means you have to love each other. And you have to practice that for a while and get used to it, because Negroes are not used to loving each other. They're not used to it. All All right? So we have to study history in light of the fact that history is now and it is the future. So if you want to be a part of the devolved races that came about 6,000 years ago and further in progressions 15,000 years ago because of the cataclysms that occurred during that time, do that. You will continue to devolve, and when you look at white people, you are looking at your future because your ancestors will be white. Because to preserve melanin is to preserve culture, is to preserve natural law. All right? So, the foundational point that we laid tonight is heritage and history. And the people who don't understand it will ask a question like, and now history is in the Bible and Quran. Because they probably came on late, or they probably have not been listening to the whole show, these types of people are not able to interpret history in regards to lineage. All right? So, essentially, what we're dealing with here, brothers and sisters, is when you look at our culture, you have to look at our culture in a way that presents it in a natural law fashion. Man and woman come together to produce life on this planet. We are the guardians of the planet. If a problem has come about, excuse me, it's because of what we have done. All right? And what we have done as original man and woman is we have violated the sanctity of understanding that we are one being who has of unified roles that vary but are for one common purpose, and that is the progression of life of the original people. That is the purpose of why we are here. And all of these histories that we are studying are only usable when we can take them and understand them based on natural law. It is not functional for us to be solely patriarchal or solely matriarchal people, because that would be a violation of divine law. To be solely focused on masculine energy is to lack the nurturing principle. And to be solely, exclusively focused on feminine principle is to lack protection. All right? So, essentially, this is a simple subject. Now, the question becomes, how do we change our present reality? We have to act. Brothers, step up to the plate. This is why we created all of the wonderful economic opportunities in the society so that you could be providers for your women and your children. Put the mission first and your family second. Why? Because without the vision and the mission, your family is nothing but a prison, waiting to continue to feed the industry of a devil. Sisters, put your nation first before anything, because without the community, you can't safely raise your children. The group is more important than any aspect or part or individual. This is why Ra was made in a circle, because it represents consciousness, and consciousness is maintained in a circle. So anybody telling you not to be a part of an organization, institution, community is crazy. You just have to make it work. And you have to put the energy towards it. And only love is going to make you continue to strive to do it. If you are filled with hate, you can't do it. Family can become a prison if it is not tied to a community. All right? So any of you who are living the nuclear family where every day you go work for some other people on somebody else's vision and not your own, you are supporting what the Moors call riba, usury. All right? Usury is the inappropriate use of human energy, or energy specifically in that sense. So when you are paying taxes, that's riba. When you are part of an institutional, organizational society where your potential is shut down and you can't express yourself in the sense of a natural expression, that's riba. That's usury. When you don't have the knowledge of self and can't tap in to your natural power, that's riba. That's usury. And the purpose of natural law is to get rid of usury. All right? So, now, I'm going to open up the phone lines so we can take some callers and some questions. I see we had some questions about the Nubians and the Egyptians depicting themselves as the same. I agree, but the Nubians and the Tassetians are not the same people. The tribes of Horus and the tribes of Set always considered themselves to be two different groups genetically. On the one of the oldest steles, which is called the Narma Palet, you have the tribes of Horus, and then you have the tribes of Taseti standing in front, represented by the Twa people, carrying the standards. The tribes of Horus, lineage-wise, are the most ancient tribe, and they also represent the biology and consciousness of man in his natural state. The tribes of Taseti, coming from the Twa, represent groups of people who have been impacted by cataclysms and therefore have destabilized biologies. The Twa people are suffering from common dwarfism, which is induced through an unstable endocrine system. And that trait has been passed down in them, and it won't change until there is some type of science taught to them to return to their natural biologies. We have become a part of devolved races. All right? All right? So, questions. Phone lines are lit up. I'm going to take some callers. We got someone calling in from 301-362-7370. You're on Aboriginal Radio. All right. 301, not coming in. All right. We got 347-242. You're on Aboriginal Radio.
Yeah, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, brother? Got a little static in the background.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yeah, I'm really interested in getting down with
it. Okay. What I'm saying to you, beloved, is this from the phone.
Okay. All right.
You have to talk again, but it's static. All right. Next caller, 317-345. You on Aboriginal Radio.
All right, peace, brother. I just had a quick question, and you might have touched on it. I've been in and out on your show, man, but I love your show, man. I tell a lot of people about it. I wanted to ask you about the Quran. From my understanding, if I remember correctly, there might have been some information about how when it was talking about when women have children and the process, and it goes from like 2 to 4, from 4 to 8, it was talking about the, I guess it was talking about the sperm when it goes into the embryo and the process. Do you know much? I mean, can you you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay, and is that part of the Genesis, or is that which part does that relate to about what you're talking about? How do you relate that or tie that in to what you're talking about?
Well, specifically, you're talking about there's several areas in it, but one particular surah that I could go to is Surah 39. I think it's, let's see, let me try to go to it. I got a Quran in here. 39:6, where the discussion is being discussed on the creation of man and woman. Now, there's some mistranslations in the common translations that you have. It's about 25 translations into English, but this is why I'm telling you that you need to learn the language, and it's important to also understand the ancient nature of this Moorish script and how the Hindus have brought their definitions onto the language. But suffice it to say, to answer the question, the verse goes on to discuss, when you read the mistranslations, it will say, he created you from one being, then from that being he made his mate, and he had provided for you of the cattle eight kinds. That's a mistranslation. In the natural translation, when you look at the word that's being discussed there, it's called thamania. Thamania means eight, and that is discussing what's called the Hamiyat Anam. The Hamiyat Anam is what I talked about at the beginning of the show, are the four pairs of opposites. And you find these tables all over the ancient Moorish texts of various authors like Al-Jahiz and other authors that taught on science, Jabbar ibn Hayyan, etc. And these eight Hamiyat Anam are what we discussed, which are the four principal elements of organic life and the four conditions that they are under. Hydrogen, oxygen, the carbon, and the water molecule. These are the molecules that build up the being in the womb of the mother. And then it goes on to say that you are built up in thalassa stages of creation. Three stages of creation are the trimesters. So essentially what's happening is that that is being discussed in the Quran, but when you look at it in the sense of embryological sciences, what you're looking at is the ability of that particular first cell of life to accumulate itself into what's called a blastoma. Once you get to a blastoma, you have eight regulated cells that can produce what is considered to be a neural tube through it, and that in that neural tube, the nervous system and the endocrine system are created. And that neural tube is all black, and then the melanocytes are created in the endocrine glands that are developing in the nervous system so that the life form can progress properly biologically. This happens in that eight progression. So when you look at the various surahs that talk about that, it's not talking about it in a parthenogenic sense. If you go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, okay, I'm listening. I got you. Okay. Go ahead, keep going, please.
And on the last part, when it goes on to say he created you from nafs wahadat, Nafs Wahadat, when it's discussing that man and woman were created from Nafs Wahadat, this is also what we talked about, spontaneous biogenesis, or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad discussing the self-creation of the black man, and then the masculine principle coming first, and then the feminine principle coming, and that being laid as a base for all things in nature. And then by the time you get to the progression of a physical body being produced on this plane that's on the earth, you have those two diverging material, man and woman, coming from that cosmic ethereal form that we know that we existed in, which is an ancient teaching on that particular science. So you got the embryological side and you got the spontaneous biogenesis or the self-creation side.
Okay. And one other question I had was, how does that relate to in the Quran? It also speaks about how Allah created many nations that, or many races, I believe, or nations. I think it was the nation. He used the word. The word is used, nations, that man will come to know each other. But reason why I asked that is I have a friend of mine who's of a mixed race, and we're just trying to come to the understanding of that Quranic ayat on what Allah was saying.
Okay. Well, when you're dealing with interpretation, you're dealing with the basics of what you're reading, and then you're dealing with the interpretation based on who wrote the book and why they wrote what they wrote. So what I always like to say is that our people need a lot of help with understanding who wrote down the book first and why they wrote it down and what they were trying to communicate. But just specifically on that verse where it's dealing with Allah creating al-Nas, what is being discussed is not known amongst the common people who are reading the Quran, because they're reading it in the interpretive fashion of the Wahhabis. The Wahhabis being the predominant orthodox people who are producing the scholars. But when you're looking at Allah in the Quran producing a Nahas, it's not talking about the specifically creating, you know, the original man, because when you look at it from its true sense and you're dealing with this God, Allah, and these angels, you're dealing with people. You're not dealing with spooks. So that is another problem that is difficult for most Muslims to handle when they are looking at Quranic exegesis. But the key to understanding it is that your own Quran tells you that at the time that the Mahad or the Mashiq returns, he will allow you a part of that which is forbid, was forbidden from you. Looking at Surah 3 and Surah 4, where that's talked about where the Messiah is returning. And what we're saying is that that's not some spooky thing. A Mashiach or a Masih is a figure that comes with the full, total knowledge of God. So that was held back from the rest of the people who were studying under these other prophets like Muhammad and other people, because that was not divulged. Today is the day that you're supposed to learn the full knowledge of self, of your position towards God and God not being a mystery. That was forbidden for you for a particular period of time. Now is the time that you're supposed to learn that. And when you learn that and you go back to that verse and you look at it to say, Allah created the nation so that people will know one another, then you got to look at the word Khalaq and see, well, how are these nations created? And how does that get referred to a knowledge of self? It refers to how do these people know each other historically and by lineage? Who is their mother and their father? Where did they spring from? How did they get here? Why do you have the various hues of races? Why is one race called Azraq and guilty? Azraq meaning pale. It's translated as blue, but it means pale. And the pale people on the Yama Kayama will be the guilty. What is guilty of? So these are questions that are answered, but the interpretation hasn't been there because the knowledge of the history hasn't been there.
Well, one other question, and I'll let you go to another question, but what would be maybe a good book to attack, not attack, but maybe approach the scientific and the true term, I guess, interpretation of the Quran when looking at issues of what we're just discussing?
There are none, brother. I can honestly say it. There are none. They don't exist.
Learn the language is what you're saying, huh?
What I'm saying is when you learn the history first, see, the history sets the tone for you to understand the intent of the author. Then when you go study the language and the etymology of Arabic language, you will see that the Arabic language was a cosmopolitan language. It has languages from the Akkadian. It has connections to the Hebrew. It has connections to the Medoneta root words. And then when you go back to those languages and study them, you can learn what the word meant in its original context. Then you can apply it to your Quranic studies. We're working on two particular books that should be done by the spring to help with that assistance on etymology, Quranic etymology, and then one is just on the heritage side. So we'll be publishing those books. But there is one book to help you from Dr. Wesley Muhammad, or it's called The African Origin of Islam.
Okay.
So if you go to the blackgod.com or the truthofgodinstitute.com, you should be able to pull that book up.
Okay, man. I appreciate your time. Even keep doing what you're doing. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you and your family.
You as well, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay. All right. 574-440. You are on Aboriginal Radio.
All right, what's happening, family?
Peace, family.
All right, just two questions. My first question was, in the beginning of the talk, you talked about how America has the most and the largest pyramids, and I wanted to know, why in this particular region of the world. And my second question, if I can find it here. Oh, what's the best example to study the natural relationship between man and female, or male and female? That's it.
Okay. The first answer to the question, the reason why the largest pyramids and the oldest pyramids were built here is because of what we discussed earlier in regards to the tectonic plates and the paleomagnetism and pole shift, it affected this side of the Earth more. So the pyramids and mounds were made to stabilize the tectonics on the sliding plates, kind of like putting a nail in a wall to stabilize it. So that's why they built them here. And, of course, it was just that these groups of people who had civilizations on this planet still have them on the moon. And at that time, Mars being a satellite, they used stations on Mars and still do, used stations on the moon and still do, and on the Earth to synchronize what is called the grid system. So it had to do mainly with stabilizing the planet after some cataclysms. The second answer to understanding the male-female relationship, the best way for me to study it is through the human body. I look at the operation of the cell, operation of the atom, and it tells me on this plane how men and women should operate based on natural law. In the cell, it is the nuclear DNA that holds the ancestral information of the man and the woman, and is the powerhouse, and everything else surrounds the operation of that man and woman, and they are stuck together in what is called a chromosome, which is a chain that is not broken. So that says that man and woman, once they come together in agreement in marriage, should never allow anything to come between that covenant. It also says that any destabilization that happens there has to be handled through communication, because it is the RNA that helps keep the communication in the DNA proper. So whenever there's a problem, you got to talk about it. And you have to be honest. And cells are honest. That's how they stay alive. If they become dishonest and you get the mitochondria fighting against the DNA, the center cell, then you're going to lose the magnetism, the energy of the cell. And once the cell loses the energy or its cell membrane or cell wall, then outside foreign particles can penetrate its cell membrane. But when it's alkaline and you got that energetic force field around because of the masculine-feminine relationship being good, then you're good. So studying the nature of the human body is the best way that you can study male-female relationships. And there are other celestial sciences, astral sciences that you can participate in to do that as well. All right.
Right, thank you, brother. That's golden.
All right, thank you, beloved. All right, we got another caller, 909-883. You're on Aboriginal Radio.
Chief, how you doing today?
I'm wonderful, beloved. How are you, Brother Ali?
Good, good. Yeah, I had a question, but you answered the question with the first brother, so I'm good. And I just want to say, hey, keep up the good work. It's deep. My understanding is getting better and better by the day. So, I'm loving it.
Beautiful, beautiful, brother. And keep that West Coast out there lit on fire for us, brother. We got to
For sure.
We got to turn Hollywood into Hollywood.
I know that's right. Well, we are most definitely working to that effect, Chief. So, you could count on us. And, whatever you need for us to do, just let us know. And we'll do it.
Absolutely, beloved. Thank you, beloved.
Mm-hmm. Peace, God.
Peace, God. All right, 347-242, you're on Aboriginal Radio.
Hey, how you doing, brother? What's going on?
I'm good. Brother, you still got your phone cracking up. I don't know if it's a bad connection or what. It's like crack, it's like pop.
You hear me now?
I'm going to have to turn you off again. Something's going on. It's like popcorn. Something's going on.
It's still popping, right? Still good now?
I got to turn you off, bro. If you can hear me, something is wrong with your line, 347-242. So you got to fix that or call from another phone so that we can get you on. We only got about 7 more minutes. 786-294, you on Aboriginal Radio.
Blessed love, God.
Peace to the God. What's going on, family?
Everything blessed, man. I just enjoyed the show tonight. 15 minutes. I'm a little late from 9 o'clock starting time, but I pretty much caught everything and stayed tuned. And it was a blessing, though, because I was on this same conversation a little earlier this week with the lineages and just you know, on that topic. So through, you know, the blog talk tonight, everything was like, you know, full circle.
Right.
So I could go back now and, you know, a little bit more in like with my brothers now, who I was reading with earlier this week. This is your brother and King's son from Miami. I just was out there in New York, Harlem. Talked to you on Monday night.
Yes, sir.
About 4 Mondays ago.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so just keep it up, man, and all love, man, to the Aborigines out here, you know.
Yes, sir.
Just keep the education going because our people need it, man.
Yeah, we definitely do, God.
You know, we here, man. We here. And I'll be up here in New York sometime soon. I'll see you soon, man. You know, all blessings, man. And just keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. You too as well, God.
I really appreciate the show, man.
I appreciate you too, brother.
All right. Love, fam.
Peace and love, fam. All right. So, yeah, we're talking about cosmic relationships. Matriarchy, patriarchy, and the anarcho-production of devolved races. And anarchy is truly what produced these devolved races. They don't know that, but we have to bring this out. And men and women, we have to assume your roles so that you can do what you need to do. And what you need to do is solve these problems on the planet, and you have help. You have all kinds of people around you that want to see you successful. But you have to want to. We have to want to see ourselves successful. We are beautiful people. I want to close with this. And some of us are not going to like this, but I got to close on this. Protect and elevate your woman. Page 59 of Message to the Black Man. Allah himself has said that we cannot return to our land until we have a thorough knowledge of our own selves. This first step is the control and protection of our own women. There is no nation on earth that has less respect for and as little control of their woman as we, the so-called Negroes in America. Even animals and beasts, the fowls of air, have more love and respect for their females than have the so-called Negroes of America. Our women are allowed to walk or ride the streets all night long with any strange men they desire. They are allowed to frequent any tavern or dance hall that they like, whenever they like. They are allowed to fill our homes with children other than our own, children that are often fathered by the very devil himself. Then, when the devil man decides to marry her, the so-called Negro press and magazines will make it front page news. The Daily Press will not print a so-called Negro man married into their race, but you seem to think it is an honor to your own nation when your daughter goes over to your enemy, the devil. Our women have been and are still being used by the devil white race ever since we were first brought here to these states as slaves. They cannot go without being winked at, whistled at, yelled at, slapped, patted, kicked, etc. All right, so he goes on. But my point, the reason why I read that, not to make anybody upset or, you know, whatever. I read it because it needs to be read. Brothers and sisters, specifically sisters, you have a much harder time with this colonization emotionally than we do as men. We handle it differently by being put in certain states of cowardice. But for us to get up as a people, that has to change. And we have to use the right methodologies to get ourselves up. We have to love and protect our women if we want to progress forward. And by protecting them, we will produce better children. Our children will be involved and evolved into our goals that we are setting for them. And last but not least, you need a value system that you are accountable to in order to move yourself away from the savageness that we have been participating in. So all I'm saying is there's a lot of knowledge that is around us about how we got into this state. We're only going to get out by delving into it. I gave the books out. You'll be able to come back and listen to the show. We'll be on next week. We thank everybody for listening tonight. We're going to leave you. I'm going to leave you with some hard music. Let's see what I can find. You'll like this one. I'm not...
Let me slow down. I go to the grave before I be a bitch nigga. Better behave, you dealing with some rich niggas. We the lost symbols speaking cryptic codes. Ancient wisdom valuable like gifts of gold. I embark on life, my path is all math. I understand the codes these actors can't crack. I understand the folks expect me to fold. Community control to violate parole. I won't fail, but a lot of men will. I'm iconic in the field like Solomon Steele. It's just the intro. Allow my flow time to sink into the tempo. Freemason, freelancer, free agents. We faster. Big contracts, big contractors. Built pyramids, period. We masters. No caterpillars, it was just a lot of niggas. A lot of great thinkers and a lot of great inventors. All white mansion, I'm the child of God. All black diamonds, times were hard. New Rolls Royce, yes you made it, nigga. All white neighborhood, you they favorite nigga. My top back like JFK. They wanna push my top back like JFK. So I JFK. Join forces with the king. Right now I can rewrite history. I stop writing, so fuck it, I'll do it mentally. I go to the grave before I be a bitch, nigga. Better behave, you dealing with some rich niggas. Started in the ghetto, now we worldwide. Multiplying and I pray to God we never die. I go to the grave before I be a bitch, nigga. Better behave, you dealing with some rich niggas. Started in the ghetto, now we worldwide. Multiplying and I pray to God we never die.
Niggas couldn't do nothing with me, they put the devil on me. How to prefer niggas to squeeze metal on me. Rumors of Lucifer, I don't know who to trust. Whole world wants my demise, turn the music up. Hear me clearly, if y'all niggas fear me, just say y'all fear me. Fuck all these fairy tales, go to hell, this is God engineering. This is the Hail Mary pass, y'all interfering. He without sin shall cast the first stone. Y'all look in the mirror, double check y'all appearance. Bitch, I said I was amazing. Not that I'm amazing, it's amazing that I made it through the maze that I was in. Lord, forgive me, I never would have made it without sin. Holy water, my face in the face sin. Diamonds in my rose, if he shows he forgave him. Bitch, I'm red hot. I'm on my third six, but a devil I'm not. My Jesus peace flooded, but thou should not covet. Keep your eyes on my cupboard. I'm a bad motherfucker. It's hope. Say you love me.
I go to the grave before I be a bitch, nigga. Better behave, you dealing with some rich niggas. Started in the ghetto, now we worldwide. Multiplying, and I pray to God we never die. I go to the grave before I be a bitch, nigga. Better behave, you dealing with some rich niggas. Started in the ghetto, now we worldwide. Multiplying, and I pray to God we never die.